This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة.
You boys are going to behave?
Yeah.
No talking to each other? No whispering? No looking this way? Yeah? Because I want you to, when these guys see you, you're older, so you're an example for them.
You get it?
No, you don't have to move. Just chill, but yeah? We're good? We're good. الحمد لله الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض ولنعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. It's been some time, alhamdulillah. I've had some travel across Europe and I'm back now and it's very good to see the community again. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts my travel and I pray and I had all of this community and the people that are watching online in my prayers and I hope that I'm in your prayers as well. This is a continuation of a subject that I introduced a few weeks ago, which is the matter of dignity in the Quran. And I talked about how Allah Azza wa Jalla defines dignity and some of them, you know, some of its importance and how fundamental it is to our existence. What I want to start with today is that Allah Azza wa Jalla, in many, many times, He gives us some blessings, and He wants us to give those blessings back. And so, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Allah says to him, didn't he find you an orphan and provided you shelter? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a state of orphanage, and he was left without shelter, and Allah provided him that shelter. In the same surah later on, Allah says, now return the favor. And so He says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. In the same surah, Allah says, now that you were taken care of as an orphan, make sure that you take care of orphans yourself. Don't dismiss them, don't overlook them. The point here is, when Allah gives you and me a blessing, one of its expectations from Allah is that you will actually turn that blessing into a blessing for someone else. Allah gave you shelter, you will become a shelter for someone else. The reason I bring this up is Allah Azza wa Jal has honored us. I mentioned that to you in the previous discussion on this topic. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah honored us. What that means then is because we've been given the gift of dignity and honor, that we have to pass that on to people and creation that we come into contact with. We have to pass that along. Because we are recipients of it, we have to now give it back. This is a way of showing shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. Notice also that Allah, in places in the Quran, when He talks about dignity, one of the interesting places in the Quran, or subjects in the Quran, is what we're going to get after we die. May Allah Azza wa Jal make all of us worthy of Jannah by His mercy. When believers are entered into Jannah, many times in the Quran, Allah will mention this sequence, مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. They'll have forgiveness and they'll have dignified provision. So there's this interesting sequence. The forgiveness you and I know is about our sins. Things that we're embarrassed about, things that are humiliating. And the word maghfirah doesn't just mean forgiveness, it actually means covering. So first of all, the things that are embarrassing about your record and my record are going to be covered by Allah. So our dignity can be preserved. And it is only then that it makes sense that Allah says, وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, that they're going to be given noble provision. Because if somebody's been humiliated and their sins are known, and then later on they're forgiven, and then after that they're given a big giant house or a palace, what good is that palace when they don't have their dignity anymore? So Allah mentions forgiveness first, and literally forgiveness, the word used here, is that of covering, from mighfar, right? To cover up so that our embarrassment is taken away from us. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, dignified, noble provision. It's not even big provision or grand provision or great provision. Those are other places in the Quran. But here Allah says رِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ on multiple occasions. In any case, on the flip side of it is shaitan. And when shaitan was, the honor was given to Adam alayhi salam, he felt like it was taken away from him. Right? And so he questioned Allah and said, أَهَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Is this the one that you honored over me? Is this the one you dignified and chose over me? And it's not even choice this time. It's to dignify. You gave him respect as opposed to giving it to me. That's what he said. And so he made a promise to Allah in Surah Al-Isra. And he says, لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you were to give me some extra time until the day of resurrection, until Judgment Day, لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I will, and this is a hard word to translate, احتناك, but I will manipulate and control his children, meaning the children of Adam, Most of them, except very few, are going to get away from me. Now this is an important ayah. The word ihtinak actually, ihtanak al-faras means when you put put a saddle on a horse and reins on a horse and you can control it. That's actually called ihtinak al-faras. Hunuk is a man who has a lot of experience and experience has taught him. When ihtinak is done by shaitan, it means he uses his experience and his understanding of our behavior to take advantage of us and to go take us in the wrong direction. Now what did Allah give us that he hates? He hates that Allah gave us dignity. He hates that Allah gave us dignity in this ayah. So what does he want to take away from us? He wants to take away our dignity from us. And the way he does that is two things. One, you will do things to destroy your own dignity. And two, you will do his work for him. You and I will end up taking other people's dignity from them or attacking other people's dignity without even realizing it, because that's what he wants. He wants us to do his job. He wants human beings to be humiliated. So he uses some human beings to humiliate other human beings. That's his job. And he does it so well, he does it with so much experience that we don't even realize that we're not giving the proper dignity that we're supposed to. In the next coming khutbahs, I'm going to be identifying groups of people that we tend to overlook when it comes to giving them proper dignity and proper respect. And what I'm going to try to do is to try to paint some, to my best effort, some kind of a balanced picture. Some of this is obvious. Of course, you've heard many times how we have to dignify and honor our parents. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He mentions ihsan, to do our very best, He mentions first in that list after worshipping Allah Himself, He mentions our parents. But I wanted to highlight today, at least in today's khutbah, two groups of people, our parents and our children. I wanted to actually present both sides of that picture. And also maybe hopefully if we get time, mention some of the practical challenges that you and I have in showing proper respect to our parents, and maybe some advice that you and I can take heed from, and maybe even some advice for parents, as I'm a parent myself, and I have parents, alhamdulillah. May Allah preserve our parents. In any case, so I want to start with what Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and he usually doesn't just say, or he usually gives a command without extra instructions, you know, do this or don't do this. But in the case of parents, Allah Azza wa Jal went further and said, وَإِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرْ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تُقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. It's actually pretty exhaustive. Allah didn't just say honor them or be good to them. He went out of his way to describe step by step by step what he expects from us with our parents. And so part of that struggle, he acknowledges himself, as our parents get older, that it becomes harder to give them the respect that they deserve. And so, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ أَحَدُهُمَا الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. The word عِنْدَكَ is important here. They are in your company, they're close to you. Some people, their parents are living in a different country, right? So you only get to talk to them on the phone for a few minutes a day, and you're not really dealing with them on a daily basis, yeah? But others of you, they're living with you, or they're living next to you, or you're dealing with them on a daily basis. Some of us, we can't afford separate housing for ourselves and our parents, so they're living in the same house. That situation is reality for some people. For some people, they're just living down the street, right? And so you have to interact with them on a daily basis. And as they get older, sometimes their demands and their expectations become more difficult for you and I to keep up with. You have your kids to worry about. You have your job to worry about. You have your matters to deal with. And then they feel like they're not getting any time or attention or respect from you. So the 1 minute they get with you, they get angry. Or in their head, they have 85 things to discuss with you, and you just don't have any time. Oh, I got to catch the flight. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. So that 1 minute they see you sitting, eating your banana, they're like, this is my chance. So then they make that list of 85 things they've been holding in their head. And you're just, at that time, you're like, I can't remember all this. Why are you doing this now? I just had a long day. And you start reacting towards them, you see? So it becomes a very difficult thing for them because they feel like you don't make any time for them. You don't have any respect for them. And on the flip side, you feel like they have no consideration for the fact that I'm doing this, 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 and this. And they just kind of bombard me every chance they get. And even when they do, their first thing is complaint. You don't have any time. You're so busy. You don't have any respect. You know. And then, you know, for a lot of us at that time, you're not exactly thinking of this khutbah. At that moment, you're not exactly like, let me open up the Quran and see what Allah says about dealing with parents and then respond to my father or my mother. At that time, you lose it. At that time, the brakes are not on your tongue. They're not on your face. Our facial expression changes. We maybe avoid eye contact. Maybe we keep looking down like, when is this going to be over? You know, or change the subject or walk away. all of which Allah says you have to avoid doing. Now, how do we do that? How do we, because it's almost emotionally impossible to not get stressed out. We're human beings. You had a long day. You're exhausted yourself. You've got 10 problems of your own. So how are you supposed to not lose it when that happens over and over again? This is the practical side of the problem. The only way you and I can solve that problem is maybe sitting our parents down every now and then and saying, look, I know it seems like I don't have time for you. It seems like I'm dismissing you. But really, I'm under just a lot of stress. And I'm really sorry that you feel like this. And I don't ever want you to feel like this. And here's a time I'm going to dedicate that you and I can sit and talk about some of these things. Okay, so you're just putting some time aside, just like you make time and I make time for other things, maybe just having some dedicated time aside. Believe you me, our parents, as they get older, money's not important, luxury's not important, going on expensive vacations is not important. All the things that used to be a big deal for you and me when we're younger, I wish I can go on this vacation, I can go visit this city and go to that place, et cetera, et cetera. All of that becomes less important for them. It's just a chance to see the grandkids. It's just my son, my daughter just sat down with me and had a normal conversation with me. Or they made me feel important. Just these little gestures become huge for them. You know. So this is an important part of your life and my life that we have to give a little extra sensitivity to. You know, in your head, Shaitan will come to you and say, you're taking care of them, paying their bills, you're doing this for them, you're doing that for them, you're driving them around, you're doing, you know, and you keep thinking all the things you do for them, and yet they're still always upset with you. This is Shaitan talking to you. Get that out of your system. We have to remind ourselves of the things they did for us that we can't possibly remember. Our mother kept us in her belly, almost dying. Our fathers broke their backs paying for us and providing for us. Some of you are younger here. I see a lot of youth in the audience. And you guys are practically American. You talk like Americans do. You don't have an accent. And your parents have a funny accent. And sometimes you think your parents talk funny. They have weird accents, you know. And let me tell you, the kind of work they did to get you here. But you think you speak better than they do? You didn't speak a word if it wasn't for them. Not a word would have come out of your mouth if it wasn't for them. Just reminding ourselves of the good that our parents have done. That we wouldn't be standing where we are if it wasn't for them. Just acknowledging that and reminding ourselves of that. Instead of them having to remind us, them getting to the point and them when a mother or a father has to get to the point and say, this is how you repay me, huh? This is what I raised you. And then you've crossed a pretty far line for them to have to bring that up. You see? So we don't want that to happen. Now the thing is, sometimes there are uncomfortable conversations before I move on to the children. There are things sometimes your parents are doing wrong. Parents are human beings too. They're not perfect. Our deen does not say no matter what your parents say or do, it's okay, just be patient. No. In every relationship, there are boundaries, there are lines. If your parents are doing or saying something wrong, if they're doing riba, they're backbiting against somebody else, they're talking about somebody else, if they're insulting somebody, if they're using the wrong kinds of words, if they're engaged in a kind of behavior that they shouldn't be engaged in, if they're saying things they shouldn't be saying, doing things they shouldn't be doing, you know, if they're making bad financial decisions, whatever it may be, then it's your responsibility to try and correct them, but to do so in a responsible, respectful, dignified way. Not in a way that will make them feel humiliated. And you have to be able to say to yourself and to Allah, and most importantly to Allah, Ya Allah, when I presented this, when I talked about this uncomfortable subject, I did my very best. I didn't cross a line. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't have a bad tone. I didn't change my facial expressions. I remained calm. You see, you can do your very best. You can do your very absolute best. But that doesn't mean your parents feel that way. You could be extremely respectful and your mother could come to you and say, you're so disrespectful. You have no respect for me. Allah will ask you. Now what do you do? You did your very best and that still wasn't good enough, isn't it? So that when that happens with your parents, just understand Allah does not expect us to be perfect. And Allah does not expect that they will be happy with you. Allah expects that you do your very best. That's it. Ihsan means that you do your very best. And for each of you, that's different. For some of you, your parents, you have a horrible relationship with your parents. Some of you, unfortunately, there are parents in the world that are abusive, that actually hurt their children. And for those, that child, the very best that child can do is keep a safe distance. That's the very best that they can do. Because anything more, it will become ugly and it will become problematic. Maybe they need somebody else's help to normalize that relationship. And in some cases, it can never be normalized. Sometimes it's that bad. And that happens too. But that's their ihsan. Islam is not coming to tell you and me, well, because you couldn't fix your relationship with your parents and you did your very best, that's still not good enough, you're going to go to Jahannam. It's not like that. Our deen is realistic. There were sometimes cases of Sahaba coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about their parents, saying, this is what's happening with my parents. So this is a reality that we have to acknowledge. The second part, the second side of this khutbah that I wanted to highlight that often doesn't get talked about is honoring and dignifying our children. As a matter of fact, we treat our children, we give them a lot of love. Of course, we provide for them. We make sure they're eating. We make sure they're not getting sick. If they're getting sick, we make sure we take them to the doctor and they're getting medicine and all of these things. We make sure their education is going okay. But just like we take care of all of those things, their sense of self-worth and their dignity is also really important. Making our children feel respected is a big deal. And in many Muslim cultures, it's not a big deal at all. It's actually not a big deal at all. It's completely okay for us to embarrass our kids. It's completely okay for us to make fun of our kids and even do so in front of others. I want to remind you that when Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in a well and then he was picked up by a caravan and they sold him as a slave and they sold him to a minister, you know, a pretty big deal, this person, right? So when he's a aziz, he's a minister, even regular people that meet him, they show him a lot of respect, right? He's a VIP. And when he brought Yusuf alayhi salam, this is just a kid who works in the house. Just compare this to countries like, you know, in the Gulf or in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, all these places in the world where you have people's servants in the house. They run around and clean up or whatever. And sometimes they even have kids doing this. What respect do those kids get? What respect do those servants get, you know? This is that child. That's Yusuf alayhi salam at the time. He comes home, he calls his wife, and the first words he says to her are, "Akrimi mathwahu." Honor his residence. Honor, respect his residence. This is not even their own child. This is a servant. And Quran highlighted that about this minister, this good that he did for this child. That he actually, not only will he honor, he actually told the woman of the house, listen, I'm not going to be here most of the day. You're going to be dealing with him most of the day. And I expect you to treat him and his space with respect. This is incredible. We're learning that children deserve respect. And of course, that would begin with our own children, but across the board, all children, especially children whose relationships have been severed from their parents. Now, what does it mean to respect children? I think we have a lot of conversations about respecting parents, but what does it mean to respect children? First of all, don't make fun of them or embarrass them or talk about how fat they are or how short they are or how bad at math they are or how silly or how dumb they are or what bad habits they have in front of their other siblings or in front of other family relatives or in front of friends. If you want to correct your child, if you want to scold your child, or discipline, I wouldn't even say scold, if you want to discipline your child, don't do this in front of others. Take them to the side alone and have a conversation with them. We have to emulate behavior. The same things you want done to you, actually, the way you want to be treated, is actually how you and I should be treating our children. Not like property, not like goats and sheep, but actually like dignified creatures that Allah Himself has honored, and He's honored us with the responsibility of taking care of them. Of course, I'm saying we have to discipline our children. And sometimes they're out of line and they're going crazy and we have to calm them down. But there's a way to do it while maintaining their respect, while not putting that in front of others. Because you know, if one of my daughters was acting up and I said, come here, how can you behave this way? Calm yourself down. I don't like what you just did. And her sister sitting there listening. You know what's going on in the child who I'm yelling at or who I'm disciplining? What's going on? I can't believe Abba's doing this to me in front of her. And it's developing this animosity towards her because she enjoyed watching the show. You understand? You're creating a negative family dynamic just by not honoring this child's privacy. This is an important distinction or important consideration when it comes to just disciplining or taking care of our children. You know, I've seen things, like people have identified just the strangest things to me. There are people that go to, you know, weddings or gatherings and things, and their child's eating food, and literally the parent will take the rest of the plate away and say, no more, you're going to stop fitting in your clothes, you're fat enough. Well, how are you saying these kids, these things to a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old? That's humiliating. That's not how we're supposed to treat children. They deserve more respect than that. And of course, by Quran's own hint, when Allah Azza wa Jal highlights the words of the minister, أَقْلِمِ مَثْوَاهُ, مَثْوَى actually means a permanent place to stay. And the idea is even children deserve some space. In your house, there's a little corner. Maybe you don't have a 5-bedroom house. You don't have a lot of space, but there's some corner that belongs to your boy. Or there's one, or just, it means just the bed. Maybe that's all it is. And he's got his posters on there, or he's got his action figures on the side, or whatever he does. Or your girl has whatever her dolls are, or her books are, her coloring is, and whatever it is. She's got her table set up. Whatever that is, that space we should honor as their space. You don't just come wipe all of that away and say, I need to do some work here. Just like you have a space, like, you know, the father of the house, the man of the house, has an office maybe, has a desk, and nobody can touch anything on there. There's a pen that moves from here to here, and Yawm al-Qiyamah has come, right? The same way our children, their spaces need to be respected. We can't just walk in on the kid's room. Learn, just like we expect them to knock. We should build that habit ourselves, because what we want them to behave as is how we need to behave with them. Knock on the door before you come into your children's room. Don't spy on them. Don't spy on them. Because if it's come to the point where you have to spy on your kids, that means you're not openly talking to them. There's no open, respectful communication. And if it's come to the point that you're spying on them, that means they've become really good at lying. And let me tell you, one of the most common reasons children lie is because their parents have humiliated them over and over and over again, and they don't want to face it. They don't want to face that anymore. So they become very good at lying. Open, genuine conversation with our children. If one of your kids cheated on a test, if one of your kids lied to you that they finished their homework, and a whole 2 months went by, and then you get a notice from the teacher, by the way, your kid hasn't handed in homework for 2 months. Now at this point, I know, you know, that your anger is like, you know, pretty intense at that point, and your facial expression has changed, and everybody better get out of your way, because you're going to find that kid and let him know. But at that, this is the time to calm down, to take the child to the side, sit them down and say, look, I found out about this. Calmly. You'll find that instead of yelling and screaming, having a calm conversation with your children, they'll still be in tears, they'll still be embarrassed. They might still even continue to lie. That might happen too. But this is the time where you have to parent them, not for what happened right now, but what's going to happen 10 years from now? What's going to happen 15 years from now? If you don't develop this connection now, then 10, 15 years from now, they're going to remember how you used to humiliate them and yell at them. And they're not going to call you back when they're 25. They're not going to come home when they're 18 years old, because they don't want to deal with that anymore. You didn't build that open, trusting relationship with them when they were under you. You understand? They're going to say things to you like, I'm not a little kid anymore. You can't do that to me anymore, you know. Who wants to hear that? We're setting ourselves up for failure when we don't respect the space of our children. You know, just like that, for some parents, it's okay to walk in on their kids when they're taking a shower. Oh, it's my kid, it's okay. No. That's their body. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them haya, even from you, even from parents. When you're going to, if they need a towel, if they need these things, knock first, ask if it's okay. Develop the habit of not looking at them, because they need to know that there's these boundaries. If they don't learn that from their parents, then that's going to be a problem. Then they think then that sort of thing becomes okay for them. And that's not okay. These are small things that actually build up the personality of our kids and help us develop children that first of all have respect for themselves, and then they can give that respect to others as well. If they're not respected, if they're constantly made fun of, if they're poked at, you know, in the culture I'm from in Pakistan, teasing kids is like, I don't know, we think it's a sunnah or something. Like, until a kid starts crying, we have to keep poking and poking and poking and poking. MashaAllah, bade mote ho gaye. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And you just, everybody's like squeezing the cheek and telling you how fat you are or how skinny you are. And it's funny to them. It's funny. It's just joking. A little child has a very delicate soul, a very delicate heart. When you're going to poke fun of them and humiliate them like that, then this is going to scar them for life. This is not the way to deal with kids. This is not the way to treat children. So, you know, today's khutbah, just this gift that Allah has given us of dignity, we have to be a little extra careful. I'm not saying that we humiliate our kids or we humiliate our parents, but these small gestures go a long way. Just you tonight, just sitting down, maybe our assignment tonight is, you know, giving your, if your parents don't live here, if they do live here, go visit them. If they live with you, sometimes you don't eat with them. You eat at different times. You're never sitting at the same dinner table. And that's because that's on purpose, because you don't want to deal with that conversation, right? But just going out of your way, sitting with your father, sitting with your mother, especially sit with the one you have harder time with. Okay, so daughters, sit with your mom. And mothers and sons, sit with your dad. Because sons have an easier time sitting with their moms most of the time. And daughters are just fine with dad. But with the same gender, there's tension.
So sit. So guys, sit with your dad. Have a conversation about what he was like when he was younger. Talk to him about when he was in college, or when he got married, or when you were first born. What was it like? Just make him feel like you want to know more about him. You want to acknowledge his struggles. Just, it doesn't have to be 2-hour conversation, a 5-minute conversation. See what that will do. See what dua that will, like, will come out of their heart. See what they'll say to your mom that night. You know, today, I really felt like he's my boy. You want that for them. This is more valuable to them than anything else. The same way, have this kind of a heartfelt conversation with your kids. Make them feel valued. Listen to them. Hey, so, you know, we ask our children, how was school? It was good. Okay, I did my job. I asked them how school was, and they said, there's our communication. That's not communication. That shoulder shrug means I don't really like talking to you. We don't really have much to talk about. We need to learn to engage our children in conversation so they open up to us. That's part of honoring them. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us more attentive listeners and better at communicating with our children and better at communicating with our parents. And really just understand that when we are, the way we're dealing with them now, we're planting seeds for the future. Don't think about right now. Think about what's going to happen down the road in the future. You know, last bit of advice, because I won't be talking about children again for a few, you know, for some time to come. Well, we have other subject matter to deal with as far as dignity is concerned. There's one thing I wanted to bring to your attention that's important. For some of you, you're putting your children through religious education. For some of you, you're having your children memorize the Quran. For some of you, you're putting your children in Islamic school, right? And especially with parents that I've seen that make their children memorize the Quran. It's a tough thing to memorize the Quran. It's not easy, and it's not easy for all kids, right? I have met young men and young women that memorized the Quran when they were young, and they were embarrassed and humiliated and beat, and they were put extra obligations were put on them. Like a 6-year-old girl was made to wear hijab and a jilbab. She's 6 years old. She doesn't have to wear that stuff. Because she's memorizing the Quran does not mean she has to look like she's from the Khalid right now. It doesn't. There's nothing in Islam that says that. But we put these things on them and these expectations on them, right? A boy memorizing Quran does not have to wear a thobe. He doesn't. It's okay. You know? They can memorize the Quran in normal clothes. And we don't have to put the pressure on them that they need to finish this year and, you know, conclude. And, you know, we're having the new extracurricular activities and all this other stuff. We're piling pressure on them and pressure on them and pressure on them. And then so many parents come to me and say, my child's losing motivation. What can you give them a talk? The problem is you're not giving them love. You're not giving, you know, if 10 years down the road, when this kid is not 7 or 8 years old, when they're 18 years old, and they hate their memories of how they memorized the Quran, when they hate that memory, you've developed a resentment towards Allah's book in a child's heart. Just because you thought you're going to win them, you're going to get a trophy by your kid memorizing the Quran and this is your free ticket to Jannah. It doesn't work that way. That's not how that works. What Allah will check is not how many ayat you memorized. And having Quran in your heart does not mean you memorize the Quran. Having Quran in your heart means that you internalize the message of this book. That's the love of this book. I've literally told so many parents, your child is crying when he goes. He's stressed out. He's depressed. 12 years old, he's depressed. He doesn't have any friends. He's sad all day. This is not what you want for your child. These are supposed to be the happiest memories of your child's life. Don't do this to your kids. Have them learn this deen. And if they're having a hard time, take it easy on them. There's no rush. They're still going to, if Allah wills, they'll still make it to Jannah without having finished. You know? But if we don't teach with love, then the consequences later on will be terrible. Wallahi al-azim, I have met young people that stopped praying, that haven't, they were leading taraweeh when they were 12 years old, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. The moment they became independent, they haven't prayed since, and they're in their 30s and 40s. They don't even come to Jummah. And they were the religion was shoved down their throat as children because we didn't honor them. We have to teach in an honorable way, in a merciful way, in a kind way, you know. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us conscious parents and really allow us to teach the deen of Allah to our children in a way that represents the mercy and the dignity of this deen. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين
قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين